Hi, Emmaus. Welcome back to the Proclaim and Display podcast, episode 50, where we help you show and tell the gospel to your neighbors and the nations. Back in the studio today with Jaron and Kennedy. What's up, guys?
Hey.
50 wow. Podcasts.
That's crazy.
That's pretty cool. 50. Yeah. Are you pretty close, Jaron, to celebrating 50 birthdays?
Nice, on that one.
Yeah. Maybe not yet.
I am 6 months away from too shy of 50, so
okay.
Wow. I'm getting close.
You're sneaking up on here, so
very much sneaking on it.
Yeah. Kennedy can't even imagine 50 at this point. It's so far in her future. So
yeah.
She's not even concerned about it. So speaking of getting old, so we were supposed to have a special guest last week, but I was sick, so hopefully we can get that episode rescheduled. Kennedy, I think my family and you and most of Oklahoma were sick over the past couple of weeks. So, but you're back.
Yeah, I'm
feeling
back.
Better.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah. Whatever I had, like, it just continues this, like, weird little cough thing, and you feel embarrassed, and people are looking at you. And I just,
Last week in staff meeting, Paula leaned over and was like, I'm going to go get some cough drops from my office. I was like, I think that was a hint of, like, you're coughing a lot.
I promise I feel better. So, well, I think it's a bad combination of whatever virus just, you know, went through people about the same time, and then Oklahoma allergies, and just the worst case.
COVID kind of trained us to be, like, really self-aware of sickness.
And I know.
Should I be around these people? Should I not?
And probably in a really important, healthy, way. But, man, you just feel self-conscious. But we're back.
Yeah.
We're back. So, doing better. So, Kennedy, give us a quick rundown of some recent mission projects at Emmaus. There've been some cool things going on behind the scenes, and then anything you want to mention. I know this Sunday you'll talk more about missions, but give us a missions update.
Yeah. I think even just in the past week, I can like list so many things that have happened, which is exciting. Saturday, we had a group show up to Santa Fe Elementary and just helped that school finish out their garden. So students are able to use that garden to help with lots of things for the school, but I just love the relationship that we have with Santa Fe, so that was really neat to see the team kind of accomplish those things. We've also had Launch 405 with some of our sixth graders, so we just had our last really big meeting where we really just challenged them with a few things, and coming up on the horizon, we'll be taking them on a mission trip in April to Tulsa, so
that's
be praying
fun
for that
to see
group.
My daughter be involved in that, so that's cool.
And Emery's been the best.
She's been pushed into some, you know, missions takes us to some uncomfortable places, and we have to do things we wouldn't normally do. And so
it's been fun to see every time that we present them with a new like challenge or project for the next month, they're always like, oh, we can't do this. And then like a month later, they're like, we did it. And so we're like, see, you guys can do it.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, lots of things. Last week, we also had a small group show up to Hope Pregnancy Center, just advertising Emmaus, connecting with different clients and just inviting them to Emmaus. So that was an exciting time too. So, and then this, just the past 2 days, we had advance conference with Oklahoma Baptist, and this advance conference was a little bit different than in the past. So they kind of highlighted a lot of the African American churches that have just joined our state convention recently. And so it was at St. John's Missionary Baptist Church, and just absolutely incredible.
Such a cool church.
Just an amazing time. Tony Evans came Monday night.
I was so sad I missed that.
Amazing.
I hope it's online. I think they're going to try to get the videos and put them online. This is what for a long time was called the Oklahoma Baptist Evangelism Conference.
Yes.
They've renamed it to the Advance Conference. And so,
just incredible time.
Yeah. No, I love it. And Emmaus, we try to say this as often as we can, but these mission opportunities that happen behind the scenes, I know many of you jump in and get involved in those. And those also, many of those just don't happen without consistent giving and sacrifice, giving of time, giving of resources and money and talents. And so this is what we want to do, is celebrate, you know, all these ways that God's been at work. So, and we'll talk more about missions, depending on obviously when you're listening to this, but this coming Sunday, March 10th, we're really going to highlight mission opportunities and what it means for our church to go out and engage people with the gospel and reach out to hard places. So that's a big focus for March 10th. So we hope to be able to celebrate that. And it's a really cool baptism to celebrate this Sunday. So we're excited about that. Okay, 50th episode of the podcast. Trying to think through what to do here. So Jaron and I were having a conversation recently talking about certain ideas that have really sustained us in life and ministry, especially when times get hard. books that have impacted our lives, people, sermons. Sometimes, though, God will give us these little quotes from somebody. Like the right person says the right thing at the right time, and it sticks in your mind, and you come back to it over and over again. And so I shared one of these in the sermon last week. The whole sermon coming up this week is going to be based around another one of these quotes. And so I thought it'd be fun. 50th episode, you're going to get Owen's top 10 list of quotes that have impacted his life. But I don't want it to just be about me. We're going to have a conversation around the table. So we're going to walk through these. I'll email these out to the church. We'll put them in the show notes, get them out to people. So these are the 10 quotes. I tried to go through and think, okay, what quotes have just had the biggest impact on my life and ministry? And I'm sure when we're finished, I'll think about 11 and 12 and 13. But I got the 10 and thought, well, we'll stop at this point. So 50th episode, 10 quotes. Jaron, I think you're going
to... Yeah, this has a little bit of like David Letterman vibe to
it.
It
does. You know? Which, again, you've dated yourself.
Oh, that's but true.
Yeah, who's that? I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding. Come on.
I'm just kidding. I kind of know
we need
who
like
he
a
is.
Drum roll.
Yeah.
All right, let's roll through these. Okay, number 10. Leadership is disappointing people at a rate at which they can handle.
All right, I shared this one.
Interesting.
I shared this one last Sunday as kind of a funny thing, but there is a serious point to this. I first heard this from John Ortberg, author and pastor. I don't know if Ortberg, I should say for all these quotes, I'm going to tell you where I heard them. I don't know if they're original with that person or not, but this is where I heard it. So leadership is disappointing people at a rate at which they can handle. Sounds a little negative, admittedly, but I think the idea behind this is obviously realizing we're human. And in relationships, there's going to be hard times that come. And we just want to be patient with one another. We want to love one another. We don't go out hoping to disappoint people. But sometimes we do things that are just dumb or wrong. Sometimes we do things that a decision has to be made and people don't agree with it. But you want to love people in a way that, hey, we're in this together, you know, for the long haul. So,
well, and sometimes, you know, you're walking through leadership. You wish you had this huge, massive book that had all the answers for all of these things that you have to decide, or you had years and years of experience to lean on. And sometimes you're doing the best you can with what the Lord has given you in the moment.
In the moment, yeah.
And you just do the best you can. And quite honestly, this is probably getting even more negative, but how many times have I disappointed myself?
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
And so I'm having that internal conversation of, come on, Jaron, what in the world, you know, and then knowing that sometimes I disappoint other people as well.
And I even in hearing you say that, it brings another quote to my mind that I think about, but it's this idea. I know we added
11.
Way 11. This is 10B. Yeah, 10B. But what you said a second ago was so good, because we look at the Bible, and the Bible is the answer. It's the answer for salvation, for how we live our lives. But at the same time, the Bible is not the answer book for every individual situation. But what the Bible does is it's God's wisdom through the power of God's Holy Spirit at work among its people. And so not every question we run into is explicitly addressed in the Bible, but the Bible speaks to every situation that we encounter. And so we're going to disappoint people. We're going to mess up, but we're going to keep pushing ahead, too.
Thankful for grace and commitment to each other. And,
and people who are very patient with
that's
us.
That's exactly right. All right. Exactly right.
Keep rolling.
Okay. Number 9. Everyone has a plan. Sorry. This is great. Everyone has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Would you guess who quoted this?
This is our buddy Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. So quote number 9 for Owen comes from Mike Tyson. Everyone has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. I feel like Kenny Mossman and I talked about this years ago at one point, but this is the idea. You guys know I'm a terrible overplanner. You know, we even were so crazy. We unveiled like, what, a 12-year plan for Emmaus or something this last year.
I love it.
Most people are cutting back to like 18-month plans, and we're just throwing out a 12-month plan. I think plans are really valuable. We hold those plans very loosely,
right?
You know, if the Lord wills. And so we planners and overthinkers can have these plans, and those plans are great. And sometimes life just hits you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and it's in those moments, how am I going to respond to this? Am I more interested in my plan?
Yeah.
Or am I more interested in God's faithfulness and what he's doing? And so again, this leads to 9B on quotes, but something I've said in sermons in the past, and I think about a lot, is that God always works according to his character. So you can always trust the character of God. You can always trust his faithfulness and his word. But God does not always work according to our expectations. Mm-hmm. So God always works according to his character, but he doesn't always work according to our expectations. Yeah. And man, we have expectations for how life is going to go. And then life doesn't always go that way. Yeah. And it just doesn't change who God is. So, you know, we can think of times we've been hit in the mouth by life and unexpected things. So
yeah. Well, and, you know, the first time we come to Christ is us acknowledging we want his control in our life, not ourselves. And yet for the rest of our life, it's this little bit back and forth, this tension.
That's a good image, yeah.
A daily surrender of it's not about what I think I need or what I want or what circumstance would be best. It's
And how tempted we are to take back that control that, you know, man, that's a really good way of thinking about that. So, you know, Mike Tyson, I didn't know that he was going to make the list at number 9 here.
Mike Tyson theology worked out for us this morning.
There you go. All right.
Number 8, be a non-anxious presence, Mark Sayers.
Yeah, so Mark Sayers has written several books. I listen to his podcast from time to time, but this phrasing of a non-anxious presence, I come back to this a lot, and Mark Sayers talks about in times of crisis or uncertainty, we need to be for others, and we need people in our lives who are just a non-anxious presence. Sky's not falling. They're not panicking. They're not out of control. They come into our lives, and they come with a calmness that comes only from the Lord. And so I think about that a lot for my family, for our church family, for people around us in times of uncertainty when everybody else is running around and panicking. Can we be a non-anxious presence for those people?
What do you... I don't know how much conversation you want to have from these, what's the boots on the ground when everything inside you feels chaotic and yet you still desire to be a calm presence with people? Like, how to navigate through that chaos internally? You don't want to just, like, put on a face and fake it. Like, so how do you juggle between being honest and transparent and vulnerable but at the same time having your faith fixed on the Lord through that? What are the practical, you know, things we do when we're not as we should on the inside, but still want to lead in a way that we're helpful for those around us?
No, that's great. Kennedy, anything?
I mean, something that came to mind first off is just like, how are we caring for the person sitting in front of us? Because there's a difference in like reacting to certain situations, but just simply like sitting with someone and caring for them. And the reason why it made me think of this is some of us mission leaders were asked the question here recently, like when someone sees you walking toward them, do they think like, oh gosh, I got to go the other way because they're going to ask me to volunteer for something? Like that's just typical of a mission leader. Like they're just finding people to volunteer for stuff. And that just kind of got me thinking of like, how do I be a presence that doesn't make people get on their toes all of a sudden when I call them or when my name pops up on their phone, that they know that like we genuinely are caring for them? And so I think part of that, and this doesn't answer your question entirely, but I think part of that is just simply like having a relationship that's caring for the person, listening to what they're going through, and just being someone that's just sitting with them, right? And just listening.
Well, and I think to answer my own question, for me, things are not always as chaotic as it feels like on the inside. Yeah. And so like having a conversation with yourself, like going back to statement number 9, like, okay, I may be getting hit in the mouth right now, but there's somebody on the throne I can trust, and you just navigate it the best you can.
You bring up a good, you guys both bring up really good points related to this, where oftentimes if I'm doing that work internally, personally, it means writing things out, you know, journaling them, this idea that ideas untangle themselves over the lips and through the fingertips. So we talk about things, we write it out, and all of a sudden what felt chaotic in our minds are like, oh, okay, I just needed to get that out. I needed to talk to somebody about that. I needed to journal that. And in the process, the Lord brings this peace that then I can turn around. I mean, we know the hardest person to lead is ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to lead other people, but it is really, really hard to lead ourselves. And so when we do that,
that's a quote that's going to have to be added. Did you just make that up?
I don't know. It just lives in the background. I'm a bit of a head case, so some of these things live in my head.
This may need to be 2 podcasts.
Okay, we'll see how we're doing here. So.
All right, number 7. Who am I becoming as a result of what I'm doing? John Tyson.
Yeah, so John Tyson, just a powerful spiritual leader and talks a lot about revival and prayer. His quote, who am I becoming as a result of what I'm doing? So our actions, our habits, our disciplines are always shaping our lives in really powerful ways. And so we think our actions are just isolated, but it's actually forming, you know, who we are. So Kennedy and I talk about the podcast sometimes called Becoming Something. Mm-hmm. Is that what JP's podcast? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for young adults, that idea of in your young adult years, the decisions you make are forming your character, are forming who you're becoming. And so what we want to ask is, does this action shape me to be the kind of person that that I want to be?
Yeah.
And so.
Oh, even a sobering other side of the coin is like who I am now probably has a lot to do with, as I reflect on my past, things I've, and so like trying to learn from the past and walk forward in a new direction as well.
And the good news is who we are now is not who we're always going to be. Exactly. I mean, we're so thankful. None of us has held, you know, we're not judged by our 17-year-old self or our 27-year-old self, you know, but, but our actions do shape who we are. And so,
that's good.
All right.
Number six, is this a problem to solve or attention to manage? Andy Stanley.
Yeah, I'll probably get in trouble for an Andy Stanley quote on here, but I might have to throw in a Beth Moore quote just for the good measure to balance out. But so I heard this first from Andy Stanley. Again, I don't know if it's you know, original with him, but this idea, is this a problem to solve or attention to manage? So in life, there are certain times that we have our fix-it hat on, you know, and we see somebody struggling with something, or we see a problem going on, or you see people who are in tension with one another and immediately think, I've got to fix that. Well, a lot of life is living in the tension, you know, living in those things. This is what the Thomases said so well at the marriage conference, that different does not equal bad. You know, there are differences that cause tensions in our lives. And a lot of times life is living in that tension, not fixing it. Because when we start to fix tension, what we end up doing is we think, I need to fix the other person. And so if that person was different, this situation would be easier. Therefore, everything would be okay. And man, when we get into the habit of feeling like we need to fix a problem or fix other people, oftentimes we miss what God wants to do
in that situation. It's kind of similar to the what is it? Knowing what hills to die on.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it.
It's like knowing what tension to actually get really hands-on with, or just find contentment in the Lord and just endure.
Yeah. And this tension, I mean, this plays into theological questions, because the idea that a lot of the theological heresies that developed over church history have been because people tried to resolve a divine tension there. So Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully human. Well, there's a tension there that we can't understand fully, but the moment we try to loosen that tension, we fall into theological heresy. And you can take so many issues like that. And so I think partly because of my personality, you know, most of us don't love conflict and tension. And so anytime we feel tension, our immediate question or immediate response is, I need to fix that or I need to resolve that tension. When in reality, it may not be a problem to solve at all. It's just one of those tensions you have to learn to live with.
And it's I mean, all tension is definitely an opportunity to trust the Lord through it.
It is just an opportunity, and it shapes us in big ways. So
not necessarily something to be scared of or run from, but an opportunity. All right, good deal. Number five, Yes. Some people are burned out of church. Many more people are bored out of church. Rusty Gunn. Interesting.
Yeah, so I heard this recently at a Oklahoma church planting workshop, and I've been thinking about it a lot and going to use it in a sermon coming up this Sunday, depending on what people are listening to this. But this idea, a lot of people get burned out because they do too much, constantly showing up, constantly doing things. We feel like our value before the Lord is about how much we do, how often we show up. We got to be there all the time. And this overactivity becomes a burden and not a joy.
Yep.
And people are out. The other side of that coin that I probably have not paid nearly enough attention to is there's a lot of people who get bored out of faith and church, and they begin to think, is this all there is? You know, all I'm supposed to do is just show up to church and there's nothing else here. And so I'm really worried about how many people, and it doesn't just have to do with boring sermons. I mean, that was part of it, you know, like that's what we got to be careful of. I don't want to purposely be boring, but it's not so much boring sermons or boring church services. It's people get bored with the things of the Lord, or people get bored with the relationship with God. And this is where what Kennedy is helping people see is, no, your life is meant to be lived on mission. Like, yeah. God's at work in incredible ways. So yeah, sometimes we burn people out and sometimes we bore people out.
I was having coffee with a friend this morning and we were talking about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And a lot of times, a lot of things that get a lot of the attention is the big, the miraculous, amazing works of the Spirit. And all too often, we don't give enough attention to how the Spirit works in the mundane, the routine, the simple things, and to celebrate those things just as much as we would a miraculous, you know, salvation or healing or whatever you want, you know, whatever kind of label you want to put on it. And so, like, that boredom, like finding hope and joy in the fact that the Holy Spirit was with us as we met today over coffee.
Yeah.
And we've encouraged each other's souls. That is like a really huge thing.
I think that boredom, that's really helpful to hear you say that, even thinking about the Sunday, because I think where the boredom comes most often is people just don't see the Lord at work, or they have an expectation of what that's going to look like and what that's supposed to be. And when they don't see that, they're like, well, why am I even here? Like, I don't even care. What am I doing? Yeah. So
I think also some of this just relates to the fact that we do live in this post-Christian world where like church is no longer something that just like everyone goes to because that's just what their families are doing. I mean, church is getting more and more like just not talked about outside of these walls, you know? And so I think that that's part of the after effects of like living in this post-Christian world. And I remember hearing a conversation with some people here recently and they just said, man, I just, you know, keep getting rejected. I keep inviting people to church and they keep saying no. And just that idea of like picturing ourselves in the mind of a non-believer, someone who's even not connected to church, like what could they be thinking? What could they be feeling? And I think for a lot of new believers, especially this next generation that's coming up of teenagers, college students, young adults, like they just want to feel connected. And so they're not necessarily looking for a big flashy church service. They're not looking for crazy, amazing preaching. They're not looking for music that just like rocks their socks off. They just are looking for that connection. And so that's a good reminder to us of like, yes, we want to be inviting people to church, but we also want to connect with them and be showing them the gospel outside of these walls, because that's what's going to bring people into the church.
Yeah. No, it's good.
That's good. Number four. Sorry, I'm losing track. People respect your strengths, but they connect with your weaknesses. Craig Groeschel.
Yeah. So I'm thankful for Craig Groeschel and Life Church and what they do. And, you know, we wouldn't do everything exactly the same way, but man, that guy preaches the gospel. He's incredible, incredible communicator. And this is the quote of his that I come back to most often. People respect your strengths, but they connect with your weaknesses. And honestly, Kennedy, this is exactly connected to what you just said. Like, we feel this pressure to be impressive. We feel this pressure, you know, to do these things because, man, people are going to love that. Well, usually they connect with our struggles and our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And when they see that, that's a way, like, me too. Like, I know what it feels like that. And then we are able to point them to Jesus. So often we want to lead with our strengths when the New Testament has a lot to say about how God's power is shown in our weakness. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I love this quote from Groeschel. So,
I think this is probably one of the biggest lessons I've learned just getting older and getting close to 50 is, I mean, there's a healthy way to be vulnerable and transparent that glorifies God and not ourselves. And that may be for a whole other conversation, but it's almost like when I first learned how valuable it was, surprising how much of an impact it really had on a person for them to know you too. Just being able to identify with one another, to know you're not alone, that we're in this together, kind of going back to what you said, Kennedy. So, yeah, I really could jive with this quote for sure.
All right, 5 minutes to go. Three more. We got this.
No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Dear mom.
My mom. Now, that? Let's be honest. I'm not sure my mom came up with this quote, but she did. I'm going to say she did. So my mom taught fifth grade forever and ever and ever and still teaches pre-K Sunday school and all that great stuff. So she was my fifth grade teacher. And I remember this sign in her room. We saw it all the time that and I'm still at 42 trying to figure out this idea that and this connects with the one we just talked about, the next quote coming up. But this idea, I want to impress people with how much I know. Yeah. And really, people just want to be cared for. Yeah. And then, as you care for them, there is knowledge. There are things that we can learn, but the idea, they're just not going to care about that until they feel cared for. So,
pride is a funny thing, how twists and contorts our mind.
I feel like Hans Dilbeck, who used to pastor Quail Springs Baptist and was over Oklahoma Baptist as a whole, he talked about this idea of we feed people, we care for them, and as we do that, we're able to lead them. And this kind of fills in that. Yeah. So, but number two actually ties into four and three that we just went through. So,
yeah, one of my favorites: no one to impress, nothing to prove, just Jesus to serve. Larry Osborne.
Yeah, Larry Osborne, North Coast Church out in California, incredible church, incredible guy. And Jared and I, we probably share this quote, I don't know, once a week at least. So I think about this quote all the time. Oh, God, I have no one to impress. I have nothing to prove, just Jesus to serve. And it sounds...
Freedom!
That's right. Oh, man, it sounds so good coming out, and it's so hard to live out. It's so hard. And I don't... Why we feel the need to impress or prove ourselves probably goes back to the way we view ourselves. Like if that book we read as a staff about the freedom of self-forgetfulness from Tim Keller, and just when we're able to be set free from that, all I want to do is serve Jesus. And when I serve Jesus, that means I'm serving others.
Yeah.
Like, let's be helpful, you know, not impressive. So,
yeah, good one. All right. Number one, you shared this, I think, in a sermon recently. Shane Hall, Jesus is enough.
Yeah, so Jesus is enough. I was trying to think of what number one should be. Jesus is enough.
That's appropriate.
Seems like a good number
one. It takes care of a good place. If I was putting like a 1B, 1C, it would just be the author of Hebrews saying Jesus is better.
Yeah.
You know, showing that reality, Jesus is better. Or with Easter coming back, coming up soon, you can't go wrong with He is risen.
Absolutely.
So Jesus is enough. Jesus is better. He is risen. Like that's where our hope is found. That's absolutely what we want to share with people. So,
absolutely.
I think in the middle of those 10 quotes, we managed to squeak out 15 or 20.
I think we did.
You know, I think if I went back and listened to that, maybe. So we'll try to put these together. I share these, again, just thinking about what we talked about, not to be impressive or to do anything. These have been so helpful to me. And there's certain quotes that the Lord brings that when we think about, obviously we want to meditate on His word above all things. We want to memorize scripture. But when someone speaks something in your life, you feel like, yeah, that's what I need to hear at that time. So
good gift of other people.
Yeah, the good gift of other people that the Lord brings at just those right times. So if you guys think of other quotes, let me know. Emmaus,
absolutely.
If you got a great quote, feel free to share it. Anything else before we wrap up?
Oh, man, this will definitely be a podcast I go back and listen to. This has been really, really good.
This is fun.
I'm not patting ourselves on the back.
No. Okay. This is podcast number 50. Like, we are 49 more into this than we thought we were going to make, and we realize we have a long way to go, too.
Yeah,
but it's fun, and we appreciate people listening and the feedback, and we do want it to be helpful. I mean, that's at the end of the day, like, want this to be helpful. So, Kennedy, would you pray for us and our church family and missions and Easter things coming up, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah. Lord, we thank You so much just for these moments of encouragement today, God. We just praise You for the people that You've surrounded each of us with, God, that You bring people into our life to give us encouragement, Lord. And we just pray that hearing these quotes that we can also be that same encouragement to others, God, that we can learn how to serve others well, especially in this month leading up to Easter, God. God, there are so many opportunities to share Your word, to share Your love. And so I just pray that You open up those doors for our neighbors, for the nations, that we can continue in showing Your love and Your grace in all that we do. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We love you, Emmaus. We'll see you soon.